Thank you, Kathy. Please rise as you're able and join in the call to worship. How manifold are your works, O Lord? You send forth your Spirit, and they are created. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. Please remain standing for our first hymn, page number 126, Come Holy Spirit, Heavenly Dove. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sin to God. Without your power, O God, we are lost. We have done the things we would avoid, and what you desire we have not done. By your purifying fire, transform our lives. Guide us into honesty and compassion, so that filled with your peace, our dreams and visions may be one with yours. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. By the power in whom we live and move and have our being, I pronounce to you the complete forgiveness of all your sins through the Holy Trinity, one God, whose mercy is everlasting. Amen. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Please share the peace with a wave or a nod to those around you. You may be seated. Holy Wisdom, you are the pillar of fire that leads us into each new moment of our lives. By the power of your Spirit, settle now into our hearts and illumine your will. through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Old Testament lesson today is from Deuteronomy 16 in the Old Testament on page 172. In your pew Bible, verses 9 through 12. You shall count 7 weeks. Begin to count the 7 weeks from the time the sickle is first put to the standing grain. Then you shall keep the festival of weeks for the Lord your God, contributing a freewill offering in proportion to the blessing that you have received from the Lord your God. Rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and female slaves, the Levites resident in your towns, as well as the strangers, the orphans, and the widows who are among you, at the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt and diligently observe these statutes.
Thank you. Our New Testament. Can you hear me? There we go. Our New Testament reading is a choral reading today, and I thank Jane and Lou for helping me with this. And you can find it in the New Testament on page 119, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, the coming of the Holy Spirit.
When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as a fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability.
Now there was a devout Jew from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked,
"Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language?"
"Parthians, Medes, Elamites,
and residents of Mesopotamia,
Judea and Cappadocia,
Pontus and Asia,
Phrygia and Pamphylia,
Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene,
and visitors from Rome,
both Jews and proselytes,
Cretans and Arabs.
In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another,
What does this mean?
But others sneered and said,
"They are filled with new wine."
But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them,
"People of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel.
In the last days it will be, God declares, that
I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy,
and your young shall see visions,
and your old shall dream dreams.
Even upon my slaves, both men and women,
in those days
I will pour out my Spirit,
and they shall prophesy,
and I will show portents in the heavens above,
and signs on the earth below,
blood
and fire
and smoky mist.
The sun shall be turned to darkness,
and the moon to blood,
before the coming of that great and glorious day.
Then everyone who calls on God's name shall be saved.
Here ends the reading for today. And Sue, would you do me a favor? Out in the hallway on top of the Paramount cabinet is a box. I left it there. Thank you. We are celebrating Pentecost today. Well, just what does that mean? Well, I don't know about you, but I was raised in a large Presbyterian congregation, 2 services each Sunday, with around 400 at each, large Sunday school classes, and lots of music from a primary choir, grades 1 to 3, to a high school choir, adult choir, and handbell choirs, including for a time an all high school boys group, which I directed with the help of my musical dad to surprise my mom. She was the minister of music there on one Sunday. She was shocked. And I was only in high school at the time myself. I remember all the youth group activities. One was creating church symbols from half-inch square ceramic tiles. Mine was a form of a cross. That project, They're still hanging in the hallway of the church building in 2015, 50 years later. However, I don't remember the church year designations. We celebrated Christmas, Palm Sunday, Easter. Lent was mentioned, but the emphasis was on Maundy Thursday. The communicants class was taken in at that service each year, and it was the first time we were allowed to take communion. Pentecost was not mentioned in my memory, and we were a huge, I was in a family of nine, group that attended every Sunday. We rarely took vacations, and our VW bus would go down our street, a rather main residential one leading to the downtown, and stop at 3 to 4 other houses and pick up young people to take to church. It got a little crowded, but it was less than a mile to the church. Well, let's get back to Pentecost. So I've done some research to learn more about it. I used the internet, of course, and I located sources from the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, the Reformed Church, Presbyterian Church USA, and the Calvin Institute. Some very interesting reading that spurred some deeper thinking. And we have celebrated it since I have been attending Trinity here, which is now close to 40 years. Where did the time go? We have to understand the times during which Jesus and the disciples lived. Varying views were not well accepted. Jesus was not recognized as the Messiah, but as a threat to the power of the Jewish leadership. He challenged their views. When one reads the Old Testament, you read about sacrifices to the gods, and the Jewish people had many rules or laws to follow governing what they ate, how it was prepared, and when not to work. Festivals and holy celebrations revolved around the seasons and the Jewish history. Well, Easter happens at Passover because as part of that festival, Jesus was crucified, and he rose on the third day, and we celebrate that as Easter in the Christian faith. However, he continued to return to the disciples after he rose, and he saw some other chosen people to teach and reassure them. And 40 days after Easter, he made his final ascent to heaven. Now, the Jewish festival, commonly known as the Feast of Weeks, happens about this time. It's counted from the beginning of barley season, which is the second day of Passover, and goes to the end of the wheat harvest, which is 7 weeks later. And at 7 weeks, we celebrate Pentecost, which means 50th day and comes from Greek-speaking Jews. It marks 50 days since the resurrection of Christ and the giving of the law to Moses on Sinai. Well, this gets complicated, but by connecting Christian observances to Jewish celebrations, they could practice their faith more safely. According to the scriptures, the apostles were together when things happened that day. First came the wind. It was rushing, loud, and probably very scary. It came into the house where the disciples were hanging out, and it turned into fire. And the tongues of the fire reached out to them. It was truly the breath of God. The Spirit of God reaching out to the chosen 12. It was meant to be earth-shattering and life-changing. The advocate, the unseen power of God, moved among them, gripped them, and changed them. They had experienced a sensory event, visual, auditory, and emotional. And then the disciples could speak in unknown languages. In John chapter 14, Jesus had promised the Helper or Holy Spirit. And in Joel chapter 2, the prophet foretold this event. The rushing wind symbolizes the creating and resurrecting power of God. God, who had created Adam by breathing life into him, liberating Israel from Egypt with a wind. The tongues of fire hovered over the heads of the apostles. God also had fire in the wilderness and the tabernacle. The miracle of speaking in unknown languages is a reversal of the curse of Babel in Genesis. This fulfills God's promise to bless all the earth through the people of Abraham's faith. Well, they went outside, and they were able to speak in the language of the people they spoke to, sharing what had happened. In Acts 2, verses 22 to 24, Peter spoke about Jesus and what he did for the people of the world. This is the first time the gospel message of the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus is boldly proclaimed. The beginning of the church. Now, Jesus was with the disciples before and during the events of Holy Week. He was trying to prepare them for those events and their role in the future. And he told them the Holy Spirit, which he called the Advocate, would come to teach them and remind them of what he had said. The Advocate would defend us from sin and be with us forever. As we live out our faith, the Holy Spirit guides us, helps us to grasp the meaning, the understanding of Jesus' words, actions, and miracles. It will empower us to understand and live out our faith for the good of others. Well, that's powerful and heavy. Pentecost signals the transition from a small group of followers to a movement of outreach to spread the word of God and Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit helped the disciples to overcome their fears and go boldly into the unknown to share the message. We are indeed grateful for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is a new beginning. Let us refresh ourselves with a new beginning in Christ and spread his message with words and deeds. The mission of the church is to share the grace of Jesus Christ with all people, all the world. God wants us to not only accept him and his teachings, but to move into the world and proclaim his glory. He wants us to love others, help our neighbors, both those we know and those we don't. Help them learn about the gift of eternal life. Terry McDowell Ott writes in the Presbyterian Outlook about today. Let me share her words. She writes, "Recently, while procrastinating on a work deadline by internet shopping, I bought a book to solve all my problems, titled, The End of Procrastination, How to Stop Postponing and Live a Fulfilled Life by Peter Ludwig. But down this rabbit hole, the book spoke to me of Acts 2, verses 1 to 21. Ludwig writes about the power of personal and group vision to motivate action and foster change. If the members of a group all have similar values and personal visions, it becomes much easier to found movements. If people come together to create a group vision, the result is very strong group motivation. This motivation has been one of the most important driving forces in human history. It has toppled dictators, launched revolution, and initiated other changes that have transformed the world." Now back to Terry. Acts 2, 1 to 21 doesn't just tell the story of the church's birth. It offers Christians a vision, an ideal around which we can and should organize our ministry. The miracle of Pentecost reveals a community that is both inclusive. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 4, and widely diverse, devout Jews from every nation under heaven, verse 5. The text speaks of a people gifted with the ability to speak new languages, hearing, understanding, and communicating in ways that promote a sense of belonging. Act 2 reverses the arrogance and divisiveness of Babel in Genesis 11, 1 to 9. Revealing God's true hope for humanity, a diverse community peacefully coexisting through mutual understanding and shared purpose. Of course, there were doubters. These people must be drunk. But Peter wouldn't stand for that, and he preached the first lessons of the Christian faith. God's word is being heard, God's spirit is being shared, and God's communion is being brought into existence among humanity here and now. God's people are given a vision to guide and save. The widely respected Old Testament scholar, Walter Brueggemann, He just passed on June 5th at age 92 in Michigan, and his strength was being the Hebrew Bible and the Old Testament. He said, "Pentecost inspires prophetic imagination, helping us to envision an alternative world counter to the dominant reality. Every church is an attempt to approximate the kingdom of God and to move the world closer to it. That is the blueprint of Pentecost." The companion to the Book of Common Worship 2003 says, "On the day of Pentecost, we celebrate God's gift of the Holy Spirit, which draws us together as one people, helps us to comprehend what God is doing in the world, and empowers us to proclaim in word and in deed God's plan of reconciling all people in the name of Christ." And you can read more about it in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Well, here at Trinity, our paramounts changed from white to red. The season of Easter is behind us. The tongues of fire are hung as another reminder of the events of Pentecost. The red paramounts symbolize the fire and God's presence. The day of Pentecost is the climax of the great 50 days of Easter, celebrating as it does the gift of the Spirit to the body of Christ, the church. Pentecost is fleeting, and next Sunday is Trinity Sunday, which focuses on the triune nature of God. The season after Pentecost has several names: Trinity season, ordinary time, and even the season of growth. It extends to the first Sunday of Advent and the beginning of the new church year. Once in ordinary time, we change the paramounts to green for the season of growth, focusing on growing in the faith, Christian living, stewardship, and service. Well, I personally didn't care for the long time of green paramounts, but the explanation of the season of growth gives meaning to the color, which will serve for me as a reminder each week of where my faith focus should be. Amen. I believe we're going to have a hymn, Spirit. Yes. And I don't know the number. I didn't bring my bulletin.
319.
Thank you. Okay. Please stand.
319.
please remain standing for the and say the Apostles' Creed as we affirm our faith? It's found on your pew card if you need it. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray. With joy for the gift of the Holy Spirit, together we pray for the well-being of the church, the world, and all in need. We thank you for the wonder that erupted on that day of Pentecost, for the birth of the church, for the gifts of amazement and challenge, and for all the witnesses whose lives have been altered by your power alive in our world. We thank you for the many peoples of this earth whose visions differ, whose languages offer special insights, whose ways of worship and compassion feed our own. We thank you for the earth itself, through whose creatures we see your love, and in whose winds we remember the coming of the Spirit. Make us grateful for the confounding experiences the Holy Spirit's presence creates in our lives, for the marvel of new visions, for the wisdom of prophetic words. Give comfort to all people who are lonely and frightened, ill, imprisoned, homeless, or without work. We especially pray for those unable to attend our service, including Sally, Jackie, Peggy, Herb, Pat, Gretchen, Ken, Elva, and others. Let us pray now for those in need of your love, and you name them silently. We pray for all who have moved to the Church Universal, including Don, Bill, David, Bernie, Pat's brother, that you will bring them to the fullness of your joy, where mourning and pain will be no more. For those left behind, give them courage to continue living in your ways and strength and the comfort of your love. For so many blessings and for answered prayers, we give you thanks through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray together, saying the words you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive us our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Blessed be the tie that binds. And we welcome Melissa to the piano to join us today.
Thank you. commandments of love. Love the commandments, keep them, honor them, do right by your neighbors, and listen to the Spirit. Now may the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, guide you in the ways of God and fill you with